Beacon Spotlight tonight is on Coyote, a Marin resident who's dedicated his career to helping others through his passion in the fields of acupuncture, martial arts, traditional Chinese medicine, and his ability to integrate these into Western medicine. The lamp shines brightly on local community acupuncture as well. Here on Thursday Night Mission tonight, my guest is Mikhail Coyote. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Grant.
It's good to have you here. Now, you were here with us once before a couple of weeks ago, but I believe you had a little laryngitis, so you were our silent guest.
Yeah, I was enjoying Jay playing some crazy music. That was a good night show.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I think I'll probably have him on again. I've learned today that I will be broadcasting through the summer. Some of Thursday Night Mission spots will overlap with baseball, which is going to be broadcast. So I will be announcing the baseball broadcasts and when they will or will not overlap this show in advance. Tonight, I'm going to open up with a reading from the Tao Te Ching, an ancient script, which I believe the two of us here in the studio have had much experience appreciating. I've got very few announcements, but I will go through my calendar segment a little later after I interview Coyote here. And after my calendar, we'll be talking about the practice of acupuncture and some of the theory behind energy and how it works in our body. And as time permits, we'll have a little more, another reading, and I might even find some music. We'll see. But I think we've got a lot of really great things to talk about that are probably going to spend the rest of our next hour. So let me get into my reading here, open this up, and look at Tao Te Ching. And I have selected sections 33 and 44 to read for you. So allow me to shutter the windows here and get us out of the storm. Safe and dry. Now, the Tao Te Ching is attributed to a man known as Lao Tzu. And I've heard different translations of this. What's your favorite translation of his name?
Red Pine has a really good translation of the Tao Te Ching. I've read some of the translations are more literal and others are more imaginative. And I think the one you're reading from is more imaginative, but I enjoy those as well. I don't think I've ever read a copy or a version of the Tao Te Ching I didn't enjoy in some way, because I feel like the ideas from that book go deeper even than the words themselves, which is kind of what Taoism is about. One of the many sayings from the Tao Te Ching is, "The Tao that can be named is not the great Tao," meaning once you start talking about this stuff, you've already kind of lost track.
Yeah, I agree. Was it Xuanzu? A couple hundred years after this book was produced, did a lot of writings, and he deals with that concept a lot.
I'm terrible with Chinese names, but I think it's Chuang-tzu or something like that.
I believe so. I've seen it spelled many ways. Yeah. Lao Tzu, on the other hand, is usually spelled about the same. Let me read two passages here that Lao Tzu has written that were translated, and I've been using online sources for this. You can find the Tao Te Ching, spelled with D's or T's alternately, online, different versions. Passage 33. Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. If you realize that you've had enough, you are truly rich. If you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. Of course, I believe this is one of the more imaginative translations. He's not actually telling you to embrace death literally, but more in a spiritual, mental sense so that you no longer fear it. At least that's how I interpret it. And the other passage here, 44, that I've linked to it is of a similar vein. You'll find some of these apparently contrary statements on the surface. And when you read them and you start into them and you start understanding more about the Tao, they make a lot of sense. So here is 44. Fame or integrity, which is more important? Money or happiness, which is more valuable? Success of failure, which is more destructive? If you look to others for fulfillment, you will never be truly fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. And so, here at Dominican, we are in the studio at radio.dominican.edu's broadcast heart in San Rafael, California. It's a lovely campus and a great program here. The studio is pretty fun itself, set up for Penguin Radios. You can listen to Penguin Radio live. If you can hear my voice, you're listening live now. And if you didn't know, you can listen mobile as well as on your computer with links that are on the menu page there at radio.dominican.edu. There are also podcasts of my broadcasts as well as many of the student DJs from last semester and all of us this semester. So come on by, check out sportscasts, and also live broadcasts of lectures, debates, and other good stuff on the site. And for tonight, I've really enjoyed having you as a friend and a fellow in the community here. Mikhail Coyote, I want to talk a little bit about your time in San Rafael in our own Mission City. You've had many years living here and working and living around here, yes?
Yeah, I don't really consider any place, one place my home, but I've spent so many years in San Rafael, it comes pretty close.
How old were you when you first came here? What year maybe?
I lived here two different times. When I was a little kid, I lived here for a few years out in Glenwood, and that was like preschool age. And then my parents and I and my sister, we moved overseas. And then after living overseas for a while, we moved down to Los Angeles, which is kind of like living overseas. And then we came back up here at the end of middle school. So eighth grade through high school, I was here. And then after college, I lived in the city and moved away. But I've been back, and now I'm living out in Fairfax. So I've been local for a number of years now.
And you also work in the area between San Francisco and Marin and even sometimes in Sonoma?
Yeah, I do acupuncture and massage locally and in the city and in the East Bay as well, and sometimes further north. And I work out in Fairfax primarily, but I also go to people's houses and do acupuncture. But yeah, I've been working in the Bay Area for quite some time.
Good. We'll talk a little bit more about your community acupuncture program. I'd like to spotlight that here and in our second segment and talk about acupuncture itself more. But let's save that for the second half of the show.
Sounds good.
And for now, you know, I wanted to kind of start at the source. After talking to you and watching your practice in action, I realized that you've got your roots in healing have a lot of influence from martial arts. Tell us about your interest in martial arts and some of your experiences.
Well, I grew up in a family that really valued education and intellect, and they were some pretty smart people, and you know, it didn't make them happy necessarily. And at some point, I realized that intellect isn't everything. So I became a late blooming jock. Went to UC Santa Cruz and had most fun in scuba diving, fencing, massage. And after going to college at UC Santa Cruz, I moved up to the city. And it was kind of a dark time in my life. And maybe by luck, maybe by fate, I came across a gentleman teaching Qigong and martial arts out of a warehouse near Potrero Hill. And it was really understated. He didn't have any really name for it, and he didn't even have a name for the martial arts he was teaching. And I didn't even realize I was learning Qigong until later. But I was pretty dedicated. I'd spend 4 or 5 hours a day, and then I'd go do Tai Chi in the park with some of the old Tai Chi teachers there. So I had a lot of fun with it, and I think for the first time in my life, I managed to get out of my own head and realized that the body has an intelligence all of its own. And of course, that applies to healing and acupuncture and massage as well.
Of course, of course. And just for our curiosity, you've mentioned Qigong and Tai Chi, and you've also talked to me about other martial arts. Maybe you could list some of the martial arts you've had experience with that you've appreciated.
Sure. I did capoeira for a little bit of time, just 6 months in the city, though I did it again recently, and I'd like to give a shout out to Samuka, who teaches capoeira here in Marin through College of Marin non-credit classes, and he needs more students, and he definitely deserves it. So capoeira was the most sweaty gymnastic martial art I did. The martial art I studied in the warehouse, I never learned the name of it. He just called it self-defense, and we just learned how to fight. It was kind of like Fight Club. But
without the soap?
Without the soap, right. But later on, I would do the forms, and other martial artists would say, oh, you're doing Southern Kun Tao, which is, I guess, some Indonesian Chinese mixed martial art. And I really don't even know what I studied with him in particular, except for movement and fighting. But I also studied several Tai Chi forms, Chen style and Yang style. And I've done a little bit of Xing Yi and Bagua. Those are all Chinese martial arts. And just to clarify, like martial arts 101, you've got, you know, the Japanese martial arts, karate, jiu-jitsu, aikido. And of course, jiu-jitsu's got a big comeback now through mixed martial arts. And then, of course, there's Muay Thai. And then there's Chinese martial arts, which pretty much just goes under the broader name of Kung Fu. But there's two traditions in Chinese martial arts. There's actually more, but to simplify, there's two. There's the Shaolin school, which is the vast majority of Chinese martial arts and Kung Fu. It comes from the Shaolin tradition. And while they have Qigong, it's still more focused on wushu, on acrobatics or fighting or performance. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Taoist lineage of martial arts in China, which is older. And that's where Tai Chi and Qigong and Bagua and Xing Yi and most of the martial arts I've practiced have come from that tradition, which focuses less on developing faster reflexes, being stronger or faster, and more on finding the gaps in your own movement and other people's movement and exploiting those gaps or healing them in the case of healing.
Great segue into healing, which I was going to talk about next. First, I'd like to remind anybody who's just tuned in, this is Thursday Night Mission from 9 to 10 p.m. every Thursday night on Penguin Radio here at radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, Beacon, and tonight's guest is Mikhail Coyote. We've been talking about martial arts and healing, and we've got some great discussions on energy coming up in the next half hour. Now, you've mentioned the martial arts and how you got into that. Where did healing start for you? Other than just a personal journey, how did you get into the work that you're doing now?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question. I have a story, you know, I'm not sure if it's, you know, I tell myself why it happened. And if you tell a story enough times, sometimes you're not sure if it was real or not. Mm. Kind of like, you know, if you had a dream and you change it a little bit for the benefit of others and you keep telling it that way, maybe the dream, you know, you don't really remember the original dream. But for me, Qigong and martial arts helped me get out of, you know, a decade-long depression. So I know we're going beyond personal healing, but for me, that was really, I was like, wow, this works. And from a completely different continuum, I know you've had a lot of you know, other people on this show who have had problems with our society. And I, in UC Santa Cruz, you know, radical campus, I was very interested in anarchist politics, revolution, you know, Occupy. And At some point, I realized that revolution is internal as much as external, and that's what I've been saying led me to my healing path. And I think that might be the truth of it. I'm not sure. It's probably more complicated than that. But for me, taking control, or I should say letting go of control, depending, you know, how you look at it, of your own body-mind system and being present in the moment are the ultimate revolutionary action. And so for me, I guess I came through healing through revolutionary politics.
Nice, nice. So coming from a background that was more, say, scholarly bent in your family,
yeah,
you were able to find something that was more spiritually fulfilling, physically fulfilling, mentally and emotionally liberating through martial arts. And then through that, that helped you heal. And then you moved on to learn more about body work and healing.
Right. I've always given a good shoulder rub, you know, my girlfriends and friends. I've always done good shoulder rubs ever since I can remember. But definitely doing a lot of Qigong and push hands has really developed the sensitivity of my listening ability with my hands. So it was a natural bridge to healing. And I very much enjoy doing the healing arts. Sometimes I think it's a bit much, you know, like doing what you love for a living is both a blessing and a curse.
How so?
Well, you know, sometimes I feel like if I was, you know, regular Joe doing a like high paying job, whatever, working something else, just 9 to 5, then I could do Tai Chi or whatever I wanted on my own. And it's more private. It's like being an artist and performing simply for the sake of performing as opposed to doing it for bottom dollar or to make a living. So I know purity in itself is an illusion, but sometimes I idealize people who have just regular jobs, whatever that means, and then find their hobbies and their passions and their free time and unclouded by the pressures of finance and the regular world. So there's times I wish I had, you know, just worked at a cafe.
Which I think both of us have done.
Yep, for sure.
Wow. And now I'm thinking that it, to me, my surface impression of martial arts up until, well, some of my experiences talking with you and some other experiences I've had in the last decade were really came from, say, Kung Fu movies. And, you know, coming up through school, the kids that went to karate class were the ones that were like, yeah, martial arts, you know, we're going to kick somebody's butt and everything. So, you know, coming from this kind of surface perspective, where we see people flying through the air, delivering kicks on wires in movies these days, that type of thing. I think it's amazing and also very important that you've been able to take the heart of the teachings that you've experienced and move them in a positive way. Not, I'm going to kick somebody's butt. Not even, hey, I need to protect myself physically, which are both maybe very important, but to be able to make that bridge and use those techniques towards healing, I think is a very amazing, positive thing. And I think it's a great example for people as well.
Well, you know, it came from necessity for me. Like, I was suffering from some severe mental depression, maybe even mental illness, when I was living in the city after graduating from college. And for me, going and doing 4 or 5 hours of Qigong and martial arts just kept my sanity. So in a way, it was very selfish, you know, not in a bad way, but it was definitely selfish. It was something I needed to do, like eating or breathing air. I've always been suspicious of spirituality when it's in your face or when people talk about it a lot. Nonetheless, absolutely, I feel that Qigong and the martial arts can and do develop a real gentleness of character if you train in them right. But I also learned to protect myself too. I used to live on Haight Street, and my friends were always getting into fights, and I was always the one who would talk everybody out of getting into fights. I'd be shaking hands with the crackhead at 3 a.m. saying, "No, it's okay, you're my friend." I've always been good at that. But it's nice to have a backup just in case. I kind of like what the Tao Te Ching says about fighting. I'm not going to quote it directly because I'll butcher it. But basically, if you're in a situation where you've gotten to fighting, you've already lost. You've lost harmony. You've already lost. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be good at it. If you're in that situation where you're already lost, you still need to learn how to protect yourself. But obviously, if you're going to fight somebody, there are so many better ways of dealing with things. You can talk to them first, and if that doesn't work, you can leave, and if that doesn't work, then you can gently incapacitate them. That is, like, using gentle force, you know, pin them down. Don't hurt them, but make sure they don't hurt you or anyone else. And then only last, absolutely last, would you really need to do harm to anybody to protect yourself. And I think that when I come out of a good martial arts class, and I mean good, like, not just technique, but just a good class with a good teacher with the right intention and the right students, I feel less like fighting than any other time in my life. It reminds me, I ran into these drunk Irish in Australia a long time ago, and they were all kind of very aggressive fellows, except for the boxer who was traveling with them. And I kind of got the feeling like since he did it in the ring, he didn't need to take it out of the ring. And I think that martial arts provide a safe place for society's darker nature to be transformed.
Nice, nice. I love your example of the boxer. And before we go into the calendar segment, let's just define martial arts. Let's have you define martial arts. It's not just throwing a punch.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of disputes. I mean, fundamentally, it's learning how to fight. And a lot of people don't even like the word arts because it's performance. You know, arts is something that you do to, make art, not to fight. And even Bruce Lee was famous for talking about dead forms, that there's lots of martial arts out there that look pretty and might get you in shape, but won't protect you if you really need them. They've lost their basic functions. So martial arts, even itself, arts itself brings up all sorts of different points of view. But from my experience, for me, and that's all it can ever be, really, because the martial arts is a personal experience for each person who does it. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of those things. It's not just fighting. It's also being comfortable in your own skin, being comfortable in your own body, learning how to let go, learning timing, and also learning heart and learning dedication. So it's got really a lifetime worth of lessons, and I don't think I'll ever be done learning from it.
Beautiful, beautiful. If there was one martial art, assuming it's accessible, people can find it and so forth, just, you know, setting that aside, is there one martial art you think that just anybody, in layman's terms, could benefit from that you would recommend?
Absolutely, but I do think that it's really important that you have a good teacher. You can have the greatest art on the planet, and if you have a bad teacher, your experience of it will be bad. So, if you find a martial art that's not, you know, not the best martial art on the planet, but you have a great teacher, then you'll probably benefit a lot more than somebody who studies, you know, the best martial art from a bad teacher. But to sum it up, I can think everybody would benefit from doing Tai Chi or Qigong. And just to clarify, Qigong has a lot of different definitions. It's like compared to pranayama in Indian yoga. But I like to just simplify in my speech about martial arts and Qigong. And Qigong, if imagine a car. Tai Chi is the frame of the car and the tires. It's learning how to move. It's the mobility. It's the ability to move fluidly. And Qigong's like the engine, and the battery. So learning Qigong, a good Qigong form, will really increase your energy and make you feel better and help you with whatever is going on. And you can plug that battery into any type of car. So if you learn Qigong, I feel like that you can do any martial art, and Jiu-Jitsu, Aikido, Tai Chi, and benefit not only from the external form, but from the internal work. So I'd say if I was to say one thing everybody on the planet should do, if I was dictator of the world,
it
would be Qigong. As far as martial arts are concerned, I think Tai Chi is really good. And I would suggest for people wanting to learn to pick a short form to learn first, like the 37 form or something like that, because it's nice to be able to learn the skeleton of a form in just a few months, so you have something to keep practicing if you stop going or if you move. A lot of the Tai Chi forms and martial arts forms are a lot longer. And if you don't really finish them before you finish your training, then you don't have something to take with you. I think it's really important, your personal practice, as much as training with a teacher.
Good. Beautiful analogy with the car. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
We're with Mikhail Coyote here on Thursday Night Mission from 9 to 10 every Thursday. I'm Beacon, your host from the stormy airwaves to the solid shores of San Rafael, talking about local people, places, programs, and community. We're moving into the second half of the show here tonight on radio.dominican.edu. It's time for the calendar segment. I've been doing Facebook calendar with you, and I've been picking out the gems for you, not just any old Facebook thing, because there's a lot out there to sort through. Now, in the previous hour, just before the end of Do It Live, Avery was talking about the Trayvon Martin case, and I'm not going to get into the case here. I did want to mention that there's an event I've been invited to by Marin Grassroots. It is a candlelight vigil for Trayvon Martin. This is Thursday, April 5th, 2012. It's a little ahead of the things that I normally announce, but I wanted to get this out there. This is at the Civic Center Lagoon Park in San Rafael at 5:30 p.m. So I imagine at that particular time, they'll be gathering and candles will probably go up an hour or two later as darkness falls. And they say bring your candles, hoodies, and voice at 5:30. Anybody that feels strongly about this case that wants to be part of a local movement here and activities to, at the very least, honor this young man, can go to this candlelight vigil again, April 5th, 2012. Also, I've been invited again by Danny Uzi, who has a couple of great last-minute gigs he posted today. Saturday night, he's going to be at the Sweetwater Music Hall with Cordy and friends between 8 and 12 p.m. Sunday night, he's doing a solo performance at the Sleeping Lady in Fairfax from 6:30 to 10 p.m. So if you like Danny Uzi and the work that he does, be sure to show your support and listen to his great tunes. Now, also Saturday at 7 p.m., there is a songwriter circle at the Bazaar Cafe with Essence. Essence Goldmey has invited me to this. She is a local artist, musician. And the Bazaar Cafe itself is actually on California Street in San Francisco. You can look that up. 7 p.m. next Saturday. So if you're in the city and not in Marin and you're not at Uzi's, go check it out. I think it's going to be a pretty good meeting there. I've also been invited to Spirit Vibrations Presents Clay Hawkins album release. I believe there's also a birthday going on there. This is another San Francisco event that is happening from local Marin artists. It is at the Plow and Stars on Clement Street in San Francisco.
Nice Irish pub that.
Yeah, it's a good venue. It's really fun. It has a sliding scale donation to get in, $6 to $15. And it looks like this is going to be a really fun party. There's a lot of things going on this weekend. I'm going to mention one more. Kathy Cotton has been doing a lot of things lately. She has a birthday coming up. There is a birthday bash in an Evil Plan jam. That's right, Elliot's Evil Plan. This is a friend's event coming up on Sunday at 1 p.m. And this is also in Fairfax. Now, this is at 19 Broadway, which for some reason, it says 17 Broadway here on the address, but 19 Broadway is pretty easy to find on the main strip there. It's near the Sleeping Lady as well, and that's at 1 p.m. Sunday. So there's good things going on San Francisco and Fairfax this weekend. I don't have any more events coming up on my Facebook calendar until next week, so I'm going to save a few gems until after next show next week. For now, we're going to get back and speak with my guest, Mikhail Coyote. I'm Beacon, talking with Coyote here in the studio at radio.dominican.edu. I've posted support for this broadcast on Blogger. You can go to thursdaynightmission.blogspot.com. There you'll see an article up supporting tonight's broadcast. You can learn more about Mikhail and more about the projects that we'll be discussing in the next part of our interview coming right up. I also wanted to mention that there are links to podcasts, and I think the only link I don't have up on the blog right now is for the community center where you're doing community acupuncture.
Yeah, that's Fairfax Community Wellness. Even if you just do a search on Google with that, you'll probably find it. But I'll make sure to get that info to you, and you can post it later if anyone's interested.
Yeah, I'd like to post that up, so that's up there. And I've also got your professional website up there, Kokyu Acupuncture. Now, with Kokyu, you've been doing a lot of great things with acupuncture. Let's talk right now, to make sure we don't run out of time for it, about the community wellness project that you're doing. This is on Saturdays, yes?
Yeah, though there are rooms available there on other days, so I actually have time during the week to work there as well. But the only scheduled time I have there right now is on Saturdays from 10:30 to 1:30. But I'm not the only acupuncturist working there. There's a lot of good acupuncturists there. And once we post the information, or you just do a search for Fairfax Community Wellness, you can find some good services there. There are, I believe, several other community acupuncture places in Marin, but there's a lot more in the city. It's a movement that's just started to spread in the past 5 or 6 years or so.
It has. It is just spreading. It's gaining momentum, and there's reasons for it. What is the... If you were to have a mission statement, what is community acupuncture function?
Well, you know, there's some people who started it up north in Portland and Seattle, I believe. I mean, though it's been around, I'm sure, for a lot longer than that. But as far as its modern manifestation, and I've never been to any of their workshops, so I'm not, you know, in the group of the original people who started this movement. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who have a lot more information. But really the most important thing is pretty simple, and that's affordable health care for everybody. And that's, you know, community acupuncture places generally work along a sliding scale or just have very low rates, $15, $20, $25 for an acupuncture treatment, which is really how it works best, because then you can afford to come in more often. And in China, traditionally, if you have an injury or an illness you want treated with acupuncture or herbs, especially acupuncture, you go in 5 or 6 days a week until you start to get a lot better. And then you can go in twice a week, once every 2 weeks, which is more common out here in the States. Unfortunately, that's unaffordable for most people, because acupuncturists can charge $70, $80, $100, $120 for treatment. And you can't get that 5 times a week unless you've got a lot more money than I do. Acupuncture also works really well when you get it a lot. Especially at the acute moment, if you just come down with something, or if you have an injury, you're just recovering from an injury. So it can work really well if you get it more often. And even if you can still only afford one treatment a week, $20 treatment is better than the $80 treatment. And the treatment will probably be just as good.
It certainly is more accessible.
Yeah. And I think acupuncture is people's medicine, because it's inexpensive in and of itself. The needles don't cost a lot. You know, alcohol swabs, the few other things you need don't cost a lot. And I feel that really, you know, I feel that the future is integrated medicine between Western medicine and all anything else that we can use that works. And I feel that, you know, I don't mean to sound like a fanatic, but really I feel like, just like Qigong, I think almost everybody could benefit from acupuncture. And I've seen people who have been in pain for months to years get better after one session, even though that's not common. I've seen it happen. And I guess I would say, I would call it faith, but it's more experience. Even when I was working at the clinic in the city, about 80% of the people get better. Not all the way, all the time, But almost everybody walks out with a smile, and whatever their ache and pain is or their emotional disturbance, or it's usually quite a bit better and sometimes gone completely. And, you know, sometimes disease and illness are tenacious, so I'm not saying acupuncture is a cure-all, but it really is an inexpensive, accessible, beautiful medicine.
I believe so as well, especially after receiving acupuncture. But I have to say, you know, when you mentioned needles, I was almost wincing, and I used to wince because, I mean, who really likes to go get a shot? But that's not what this is about. Tell us how the needles work, what they're like.
Well, I'm kind of a wuss getting acupuncture, too. I don't get it as much as I should because I get worried or a little bit anxious. But the fact of the matter is that it usually doesn't hurt at all. And if it does hurt, it's very, very mild. Like getting your blood taken is more painful. Any shot from a Western doctor is more painful.
Now, and these are not invasive needles. They're not injection needles.
No, I mean, it's nothing like that at all. They're very fine little needles, and they really are, you know, they don't cause any damage to the body other than perhaps just that a tiny puncture provoking a healing reaction from the body. The great thing about acupuncture is in all the treatments that I've done and that I've seen, maybe 1 in 100 is there any sort of side effect or, you know, residual pain. The worst I've ever had is, you know, my hand hurt a little bit for like 2 or 3 days after a strong treatment. And that's really an exception. You know, acupuncture is not that painful. It's actually, I've had massages that were much more painful. I guess I'm not selling it really well, but hey, you know, I'm actually scared of needles, even though I used to have lots of piercings and stuff. And if I can handle acupuncture, anyone can. And like I said, the needles are not intimidating. Often people are like, wait, did you put those in? And also, there's been a lot of studies to show that you don't have to go for broke when doing acupuncture. Even Japanese-style acupuncture, they hardly put the needles in at all, and it has just as much success in healing as Chinese acupuncture.
Now, part of your practice, too, it's not just about the acupuncture. I know you use acupressure and massage as well as part of your treatments. What other techniques do you use?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different diagnostic technique, and that's, of course, the most difficult part of the medicine and the part I feel like I still have a lot to learn, and pretty much anyone who's doing it does, and that's trying to figure out what to do, what's going on. And so you have to look for clues, and, of course, there's the interview, and in community acupuncture, you don't have a lot of time for an interview because, you know, you're seeing a lot of people. But you can ask questions from everything from diet to digestion, and it can answer a lot of questions because Chinese medicine looks at the person as a whole. So, you know, Western medicine, if somebody's knees hurt, you go to a knee specialist. Chinese medicine, somebody's knees hurt, you ask them if their lower back hurt or if they've got ringing in their ears, and they stare at you and they're like, well, yeah, but how's that connected? So, but just by the questioning, you can learn a lot. You can look at a person's tongue, too, and it actually reflects the internal state of their health, and medication and other things will change that, so that's often not an option. And then there's pulse taking, which is a very fine art, and I'm good for what I do, but I mean, that's, I feel like, you know, when I'm 80, maybe I'll have that down.
It's definitely a refined art and an ancient art. But how is this all working? Not just the diagnostics of the acupuncture too, How is this making us better when we're treated?
Right. Well, you know, a lot of the Chinese, I was going to say there's one more diagnostic tool which isn't used that much, but I use a lot, and that's just palpation, physical palpation. And that comes from my like 15, 20 years of massage experience. And you're feeling along the channels. If you don't know about acupuncture, there's meridians that run, energy lines that run along the body. And you know, there's some debate as to what they actually are. Is it interstitial space? Is it real? Is it just nerves? There's lots of Western medicine interpretations of why acupuncture works. If you go to the World Health site and look up acupuncture, they've actually got a really good summation of the Western interpretation of why acupuncture works.
Okay.
But from an Eastern point of view, or from, Chinese point of view, acupuncture affects the qi, which is the vital energy of the body. And just like you're working with the electrical system, you know, you can basically remove a blockage. You can clear an old pain, or you can also tonify a point, or you can release something. There's so many different things that you can do with the needles or with the hands, but basically they all aid in the free circulation of this vital energy, chi, and that helps the body heal itself.
So this is energy that we all have anyway. We're using it every day in every action, yes?
Right. We've got it, and it runs out when you die.
Okay, great. I know that a lot of this energy, too, from my Vedic studies has showed that it's not just through the nerves. It's not just through every cell in the body. It flows into us and out of us. And part of that whole science and some of the spirituality behind it as well, and this is all well-documented things for thousands of years, part of it is with breath. Now, you've chosen a certain word for breath for your practice.
Yeah, Kokyu is actually a Japanese word, and I'm not studied in Japanese acupuncture, thoroughly, but I'm very much inspired by it because it takes a similar approach to what I do, which is channel palpation to find out what's going on. And Kokyu is an intentional, conscious connection with breath, and I think that's really important. It's not the only principle, but it's very powerful, and I feel like that's also a lifetime worth of exploration. Plus, just breathing deep, just abdominal breathing, charges your battery. Chi, let's just assume that it exists, because that in and of itself is an argument or discussion hours long. Mm-hmm. Many martial artists don't believe in it, and I respect their opinions, but I've had personal experience with it, and that's the only reason I believe it. But basically, you've got a battery in your belly. There's a point right beneath your navel, and that's where you store energy. And if you take deep abdominal breaths every day, you're basically charging up that battery, and you will be able to use that energy for whatever purpose you want, whether it's martial arts or healing or whatever you're interested in. So I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of wandered off there.
Oh, it's all great information. I'm eating it right up. And I was even holding my breath for a minute there.
Yeah.
Imagining. And, speaking of breath, and we're using ours here on the air to expose listeners here on Thursday Night Mission a little bit to Coyote and his knowledge of energy, how it works, and how he's been able to use it, drawing from martial arts and lending it into healing, which he has made a profession, as well as, I'd say, in some cases, a hobby, something that you enjoy. And I'm Beacon. I'm here from 9 to 10 p.m. every night, only on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And in the next few minutes, I really just wanted to cover one more topic, considering that we're squeezing just brief bits of such a vast amount of information. You've got, you know, so much about this topic. I wanted to talk a little bit about Eastern and Western views. You had hinted a couple of times that there's differences, and also that you believe that the future of healing is an integration of views. Would you talk about that for a few minutes?
Absolutely. Before I finish off the discussion, I just want to just give my love to anybody who I might know, or even I don't know, who's listening right now, and just put that out there. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening to Beacon and just being here tonight, and especially to Anna Lee. I love you very much, and thank you for helping me so much so I could get through acupuncture school and do what I want to do. So, lots of love to you. Good night, Annalie. I hope you're enjoying this radio show. Now, getting back to the question of integrated medicine. Well, I love medicine. I love practical medicine. I love Western medicine. I've trained in like first aid, and I've trained in CPR, and I've considered taking EMT classes because I think trauma medicine is beautiful. I think that while I don't support the society in many of the decisions it makes, I'm really grateful for paramedics. And, if I get a bullet wound, I probably won't go see an acupuncturist unless it's like some old communist guy who also knows surgery. So there's place for all medicine, and I love Western medicine. I do find that there is this idea in the West that if something hasn't been gone through a double-blind study and followed the exact scientific process, that somehow it's not valid. But something I thought of recently, was reminded of, is that absence of proof is not proof of absence. Mm. Meaning, okay, you've never experienced chi, you don't believe in chi, there's no studies that you've seen in peer-reviewed studies that support the, you know, existence of chi. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean it does. Doesn't mean it doesn't. And I feel like that open-mindedness is really at the heart of scientific inquiry and really Western thought at its best. But at its worst, anything that falls outside the norm, anything that appears to be hippy-dippy in the least, is seen as suspect and suspicious. And it's a little ridiculous, because a lot of these Eastern medicine techniques are extremely powerful. For any kind of chronic illness, I would go to an acupuncturist, not a doctor. You know, so yeah, get hit by a car, give me a paramedic. If I've got pneumonia that won't go away, I'll take Chinese herbs. And that's just from my own experience. So I feel like I wish that we had an integrated medicine, that doctors learn Chinese medicine and that Chinese doctors learn Western medicine, and perhaps it was just all one thing. Yeah, I feel that the amount of specialization, while it's useful, you know, in certain cases, has really destroyed the general practitioner in American medicine. And I like the idea of being an all-around good doctor and using whatever tools work, wherever they come from.
I think you're probably... I know you're not the only one, and I think you're probably, even if you might at some point have had extreme ideas, or what sounded like extreme, that the word's getting out and people are starting to learn that there are more views that are practical, that work. You know, there's the old saying, get a second opinion. I've been telling people, recently had conversations with people that were struggling with cancer and other things, where poisoning their body with radiation wasn't working. And I've been saying, get another opinion. Try Eastern opinion. You don't have to take either, but you can take either or both, Western and Eastern together. And the reason I say I think the word's getting out is my medical provider, and I'm not going to plug them because people have big opinions over their medical providers in groups like Sutter and Kaiser and so forth. I do want to say that acupuncture and some of the other methods, which really, some of these are so thousands of years old. They are tried and true, even if they're not the Greek Western system of science. Scientific process did lead to them from trial and error and theory. And, you know, traditional, in my opinion, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and many of the other arts such as yoga are just as valid.
Oh, completely. And that's
just as valid as the scientific methods that have brought us radiation therapy, new drugs, and, you know, many of the physical therapy things that we find. So I think this view is broadening. And I think it's a wonderful thing that there's people such as you that are willing to straddle that line and take from both camps with the sole purpose of healing people.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's ultimately, you know, just on a practical level, it's what works. And all we can do is come from our own experience and you know, I had a really good family doctor when I was young, and since then, my experiences with the Western medicine have generally not been that great. But I certainly feel that that there's room for anything. I don't know how do I say this. I feel that integrated medicine has to be the future. It makes the most sense to me because why not have more tools in your toolbox to help people heal themselves? Have access to that amazing, you know, Western pharmacopoeia of drugs, and, you know, use them, you know, only if you have to, and use herbs or Tai Chi or Qigong or acupuncture when you can and when you don't. And I feel like, yeah, you want to go to radiation therapy and you want to maybe ameliorate the effects of that, do Qigong as well, and that'll help some. So you can do both. So I definitely feel that there are times to pick one, pick the other, or do both, and it really depends on the illness and the situation and the person. But to have a closed mind about either, to have a closed mind about Western medicine or science, it's just as ridiculous as thinking that you know, thousands of years of Chinese traditional medicine is just hocus pocus. It's, you know, I feel like open-mindedness, tolerance mixed with practicality and what works.
Beautiful. What works?
Right.
We're studying ethics now in one of my classes, and we're talking a lot about that one, the consequential side, making decisions based on what works. There are other ways to make moral decisions, but the bottom line is what works in many cases. I'm really glad that you've come on the show, shared some of your experience there.
Well, again, much love to anyone listening. And, you know, whether you contact me or Beacon and for more information, or whether you just go out and look for a martial arts teacher of your own, good luck and have a happy journey. And thank you for having me on your show, Grant.
Thank you for being on. Support for this broadcast is on Blogger at thursdaynightmission.blogspot.com. You will see an article I have posted earlier today called Coyote. It is a brief introduction to him and his work, and it has links to the Thursday Treasure Trove, which is the other page I have supporting that. You will find links for Kokyu Acupuncture as well as McKeel's Facebook page. So if you hear anything here tonight that makes you say, hear, hear, go check it out there. At the very least, you will learn more about the wonderful world of acupuncture. And we've discussed a lot of great things here tonight. We talked a little bit about Eastern thought without getting too heavy into the philosophy. I'd like to wind the show up here on Thursday Night Mission with one more reading from the Tao Te Ching.
Ah, you can never go wrong.
And the Tao Te Ching focuses on the Tao as central to everything. Not as God, but as a source for everything. And without getting into a great discussion, religious discussion, I have found the Tao Te Ching to be wonderful philosophy in finding myself, finding my own directions, and more importantly, in calming and bringing quiet to all the chaos that can happen in my life or anybody else's. I'm going to read Section 64 from the Tao Te Ching, attributed to Lao Tzu. What is rooted is easy to nourish. What is recent is easy to correct. What is brittle is easy to break. What is small is easy to scatter. Prevent trouble before it arises. Put things in order before they exist. The giant pine tree grows from a tiny sprout. The journey of 1,000 miles starts from beneath your feet. Rushing into action, you fail. Trying to grasp things, you lose them. Forcing a project to completion, you ruin what was almost ripe. Therefore, the master takes action by letting things take their course. He remains as calm at the end as at the beginning. He has nothing, thus has nothing to lose. What he desires is non-desire. What he learns is to unlearn. The master simply reminds people of who they have always been. He cares nothing about nothing but the Tao. Thus, he can care for all things. You can find the Tao Te Ching online. I do it all the time. There are wonderful translations. No two quite the same. And I invite anybody that hears my voice tonight and has heard my readings to investigate. It is a wonderful book. It will help stretch your view of things just that much further. Thank you for listening to Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon, your host. I'm going to send you back out into the stormy airwaves in a minute here. First, I want to thank you for listening. I'm here every Thursday, 9 to 10. I will be broadcasting through summer as well, even though this is a class, so that I may continue continue to bring people, places, and programs from our solid shores of San Rafael here to you. And I think I hear the storm out there a little bit. I'm going to have to send you back out into it. Thank you again, Coyote, for coming in and being guest.
Cheers, Grant.
And thank you again, all of you listeners, for tuning in. You have been listening to Thursday Night Mission. Every Thursday night, 9 to 10, only on World Famous Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. As I send you back out into the stormy airwaves, have yourself a good night. Stay warm, stay dry, and stay centered. Thank you.